Will you pray with me as we prepare to look at God's Word? Father, thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for your Word. Father, I pray, Lord, that I would get out of the way of the message that comes from my mouth, Lord, and that you would just be glorified by the Word, the Scriptures that we just look at tonight, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, for our holiness, our sanctification. Lord, may the words that come from my mouth honor you, and I pray all this in the beautiful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, as Josh has been teaching, we've been going through 1 Peter, and we know that Peter was written to encourage believers that were in the midst of trials, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of persecution. And 1 Peter still encourages the Lord's church today. Lord willing, Josh will be back next Saturday, and we will be back in 1 Peter. Today, I want to really kind of highlight one verse, but we're going to be all over our Bibles tonight. By the time you leave, you're going to feel like we just went through a sword drill. So hang in there with me. But every one of us recognizes that trials and hardships are inevitable. Some of you might be saying, when this season calms down, everything will be okay. Some might even be saying, when we get through this, there's just going to be another trial. Trials and hardship happen. It's part of living in a sin-cursed world. But there's some of you here today that might be thinking, you know what, my life is going really, really well. Well, this message is a reminder to all of us. As believers, we are to give thanks to God in everything. This evening, I want to begin by looking at what God's Word says about giving thanks, by looking at a command. Then I want to contrast, and thirdly, I want to give counsel from Scripture to help us grow in the discipline of giving thanks. If you're looking at an outline, it begins with the command. Will you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and if you would look at verse 18, Paul's instruction says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As we start, I want to highlight a few things about this verse. This starts it's the third of three rapid commands. If you look at verse 16, Paul starts with rejoice always. Verse 17, he says pray without ceasing. Both of these are commands, and verse 18, our verse that we're talking about tonight, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The verb form of these verses make be joyful, pray without ceasing, and give thanks. They're just commands. Simply stated, Christians must be joyful. Christians must pray continually. And Christians must give thanks. I think it would be helpful at this point to ask a question. About this passage, what is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? Is it God's will to be joyful? Yes. Is it God's will to be praying without ceasing? Yes. Is it God's will that you're thankful? Yes. Verse 18 reminds us to be thankful in everything. believer, it is important to remember, as we consider these verses, to remember every circumstance, everything in your life, in my life, is from a good, gracious, sovereign, loving, and merciful God. Let me ask you a question. Maybe you've heard this question before. What if you woke up tomorrow morning with only the things that you prayed for today? Think about this. What if you woke up tomorrow morning with only the things you prayed for today? I pose this question because I want you to consider, how thankful are you? If all you had today is what you thanked God for yesterday, how would today be? The good, the bad, the easy, the difficult, whatever the circumstance, the command is, in everything, give thanks, because this is God's will for you. This is really an easy verse to understand. This is not a complex sentence. But it can be so difficult to obey. When things are going well, it's easy to forget to be thankful. And when things are going hard or difficult, or the difficulty is just ongoing, it can be extremely difficult to give thanks. It's hard to even think through the current circumstance to give thanks. Our circumstances will always give us a reason not to be thankful. Let me tell you a little stupid story from my life. Just about a week ago, I was sitting at an intersection not too far from here, and I'm pulling up to make a left turn, and it's a red arrow, and I'm about the fifth car back, and I'm thinking, oh, am I going to make it? Am I going to make the light? So I'm sitting there, and the arrow turns green. You know what happens? The first car doesn't move. And I'm thinking, there's no way. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to miss this light. I made the light. But I was stunned to think, Tom, here you are preparing to teach on thankfulness. Why wouldn't you give thanks that there was no accidents in this intersection? I looked at this stupid inconvenience of another minute at a traffic light, big deal, and I felt the grumbling in my heart. Our circumstances will give us reason not to be thankful. And I know some of you, it's big things. It's physical issues, it's financial issues, it's job issues, it's family issues. Our circumstances will give us reason not to be thankful. We just looked at 1 Thessalonians, where Scripture tells us, give thanks. This is God's will for the Christian life. Let's look at a few more verses to just reinforce our thinking about giving thanks as a command from a good God. Turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. If your Bible has subsections, the subsection will say something like rules for holy living. In verse 1, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. Paul's instruction to the Colossian church and to us is, if you desire to live a godly and pleasing life, keep your eyes fixed on things above. Eyes that are fixed on the Savior Jesus. After Paul gives multiple commands in this section that is subtitled Rules for Holy Living, he writes in verse 17, drop your eyes down to verse 17. And Paul says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, God's word gives the believer clear instruction. And his instruction calls you and I to give thanks. Give thanks to him. Do you want to live a holy life? Do you want to grow in holiness? Give thanks to God. Let's look at another verse. Look, go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in Ephesians 4 and verse 17. And again, if your Bible has subheadings, it will be something like living as children of light. Paul writes in verse 17, so I say, and I affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Paul's instruction here of living as a Christian begins with, don't behave like non-believers. The passage continues and Paul gives a list of put-ons and put-offs. In chapter 5, verse 1, Paul calls us for the Christian to be an imitator of God. And he finishes his thought in chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, where Paul gives this instruction. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are instructed to always give thanks to God the Father for everything. This is only possible because of the source of where our thanksgiving comes from. The source of the Christian's thanksgiving comes from Jesus. It's what Jesus accomplished. Our only possibility for our thanksgiving is the finished work of our Savior, Jesus. So as Christians, we are to be thankful in everything. And the second point on your outline is the contrast. We just looked at the command to give thanks. Now let's look at the contrast between one who gives thanks and one who does not. Flip over in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. He continues, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculation and their foolish hearts were darkened. This verse in Romans 1 lets us know that the non-believer is marked by not giving thanks, by not being thankful. Let me state the obvious conclusion. When a Christian is not giving thanks, not thankful, when a Christian is grumbling and complaining, that Christian looks like a non-believer. And to that, in my own heart, I have to say a resounding ouch. But that's the reality of what I look like and what you look like when we're not thankful. I want to look at a vivid example from Scripture that really highlights a contrast that I'm talking about. Will you go in your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. I know you're familiar with this passage, with what took place. Luke's gospel account gives more detail about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem than the other gospel accounts. This particular journey is Jesus' final time going to Jerusalem. As the story unfolds, Jesus is well aware of the reality that he faces, that is going to face him in Jerusalem. He knows the journey ends with his crucifixion. So let's read what happens, picking it up, Luke 17, verse 11. While he, that's Jesus, was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voice and they were saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." This is really an interesting verse, really an interesting story of Jesus' ministry. But I want to walk through this passage for you can just really get the depth of this a little bit. Back in verse 12, it says they stood at a distance. They had leprosy. They could not go near anyone. They had to shout. Verse 13, they're yelling, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They are shouting at Jesus. They obviously either had hope or maybe even believed Jesus could heal them. Verse 14, Jesus heals them in their obedience as they do what Jesus instructed them to do. They were heading to show the priest. Verse 15, but one of them turns, goes back to Jesus, falls on his face before Jesus, and he's giving thanks. Jesus comments here, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" Luke doesn't give us an answer. We don't know. But there were 9 that just kept going. This event took place on Jesus' journey to the cross, allows us to see the contrast clearly. And this takes us to the third point on your outline, the counsel. We looked at the command to give thanks, the contrast of the thankful and the non-thankful person. Let us now look at how we can grow in the practice of giving thanks to a good, kind, and merciful sovereign God. I think it may be helpful for us to first consider why, as Christians, we fail and we do not always give thanks. Remember, when we are not thankful, we do look like non-believers. So let's look at this some more, these 10 lepers. I could come up with a few reasons why the 9 did not return thanking and praising Jesus for healing them. Maybe they thought they deserved to be cleansed. Maybe they were thinking of the urgent things in their life that they had to get back to. Maybe they had really good intentions to come and thank God after they took care of some of the just more urgent things that were happening in their life. I don't know why they didn't. But whatever the excuse for not thanking God, Luke just doesn't record it. The fact that they were not thankful was Luke's point. We can read Luke's gospel account and easily think to ourselves, I can't believe that all 10 didn't go back and thank Jesus. I just can't believe that. Jesus just took away their lifelong chronic disease of leprosy. I can't believe these 9 ungrateful people. You might even be thinking, I know if I would have been one of these, I would have certainly gone back and thanked Jesus. I know I would have done it. I can't believe what these 9 did, not going back and giving thanks. I think understanding our thankfulness, I think it's helpful to consider reasons why you and I don't always give thanks to a good God. Here's some reasons for us to consider why we do not give thanks. Maybe you didn't realize that was a command from Scripture until tonight. Maybe you're sitting here today and it's the first time you realized your thankfulness is a command to be thankful of a good God. This just might be new information for you. Maybe you've lost sight, even for a moment, that you deserve eternity in hell. Whatever this day holds for you, believer, it is a good day. It's better than what you and I deserve. Maybe you think you deserve to have things go your way. I don't deserve trials. Maybe you're lazy or apathetic. Perhaps you are taking things for granted and you've grown accustomed to God's daily provision. Just the way it goes. My life's easy. I take for granted God's protection. Maybe you even take for granted his mercy and the salvation that he has given us. Maybe you're focused on what you want more than what you have. Maybe you've developed an attitude of discontentment or an attitude of complaining. Maybe you've nurtured a root of bitterness. Maybe you've become self-focused, self-absorbed, self-pitying. Maybe you ask, you pray and make requests and forget to thank God after you've received them. Maybe Thanksgiving has been reduced to just thanking God at the time of a meal. Maybe you thank him once and don't repeatedly give thanks. I realize some of these might be really convicting. If you're convicted, repent. The starting place of the work of repentance is to agree with God, my failure to be thankful is sin. I want to flip over to 1 John chapter 1. I think it's helpful to look at 1 John chapter 1 in the work of repentance for the believer. I want you to see God's four promises in our confession to him of our sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 highlights four promises from God when we confess. And here's what it says, believer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he's righteous, he forgives us our sins, and he cleanses us of our unrighteousness. Starting the work of repentance and the confession of sin, God gives us four promises. We just looked at reasons why we may not be thankful. Let's look at some reasons why we should give thanks in everything. Remembering that giving thanks is a command. I want to point out four reasons why we should give thanks. There are really so many more from Scripture, but I'm just going to give four today. The first one we're going to look at, go to Psalm 69. The first reason why we should give thanks is when we give thanks, God is magnified. Psalm 69, verse 30, if you'll read it with me, says, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 30 is recognized. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of desperation. David is desperate. He knows he's being pursued, and the ones that are pursuing him want to kill him. And David's response is, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. Wow. Numerous times in Scripture, we are told that God is to be magnified. One way we can magnify God as Christians is in our gratitude, giving thanks in everything. The second I want to point out, if you'll go back a few pages to Psalm 50, is God is honored when we thank him. Psalm 50, verse 23. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. With our thanksgiving, we honor a sovereign God. This is good news for those who are thankful. God shall show them salvation. God's thanks, thanking God, is just what Christians do. This is truly good news. Our thanksgiving matters to God. And the third reason I want to put forth, God's word says it is good when we give thanks to the Lord. Go forward a little bit to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, if we were to read all of Psalm 92, we would recognize, you would easily see in this psalm, God's mercy in salvation, God's greatness in creation, his justice to the wicked, and God's faithfulness. As the psalmist begins the psalm of praise, he writes in verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to his name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night. God is magnified, he is honored, and thanking God is a good thing for us to do. In the last reason we're going to look at tonight, the fourth reason is what God does is good. Whatever God does is good. Go back to Psalm 52. This Psalm of David is proclaiming that the futility of evil, the righteousness is victorious, and that a sovereign God controls all the events in history. This Psalm of exhortation ends in verse 9 with David stating, here we are, Psalm 52, verse 9, I will give thanks forever because what you have done. And I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. David's faith was in God. David is giving thanks as he waits on God. Think about this. David is being hunted. The ones hunting him want to kill him. And David says, and he responds, I will give thanks to you forever because of what you have done. There are many verses that declare the goodness of God. I'll remind you, we're not going to turn there tonight. I'll remind you of one more, and I know you know it. I know you hear it here at church often. It's Romans 8:28. And there's two promises from God in Romans 8:28 for the believer. It says, and we know. That is a promise. Believer, you know this. God says you know this, that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those that have been called according to his purpose. What God is doing in your life and in my life, it's good. And the good outcome is he is conforming us to look more like his son. God is a good God. God causes all things to work together for good. It's a promise. We looked at why we should give thanks. Here are some ideas to help us implement the practice of giving thanks. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remember what you truly deserve. Remember what Jesus did in paying the penalty of your sin. Remind yourself of that truth. This is a good day. As you read through the Bible, and I know many of you are on very faithfully reading through the Bible, as you're reading your Bible, make a list of the promises that you see as you come to them from God's word. Just jot down the verse. Make little notes to you of God's promise. Think about God's promises to the believer as you go through the day. Make a list of the things you're thankful for. Every day, make a list of what you're thankful for. Look for things around you to be thankful for in the mundane things of life. Remember the red light story I just told you? It doesn't get any more mundane than sitting in a traffic light. But being thankful that I got through it safely. I could be thankful for that. Study God's sovereignty. You know, if you want some resources for God's sovereignty, I could definitely recommend Trusting God When Life Hurts by Jerry Bridges, A.W. Pink's book on the sovereignty of God. If you want a resource on growing in the knowledge of the sovereignty of God, reach out to me. I have plenty of them, and I will gladly share. But a resource, just speak scripture to yourself. There are so many scriptures that we can just tell ourselves throughout the day. Maybe even a verse like tonight, that in everything, I need to give thanks to God. Here's an, right before that, it's a very easy memory verse. Be joyful always. I need to be joyful always. Pray without ceasing in every situation. I need to be praying. I need to continue to be praying. Ephesians 5:20, and giving thanks in all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. I love this. The punchline comes in verse 39 of Romans 8, 35 through 39, and I will read it. Just listen to these promises. Think about these. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, no thing present, no things to come, nor powers, verse 39, nor height or depth or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is so encouraging. Verse 39 says that nothing, no circumstance, no situation, no person, no thing, there is nothing on earth that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What Jesus has accomplished, there is nothing, believer, that can separate you. Believer, why wouldn't we be thankful? When you face difficulty or hardship, pray. Lord, thank you for this difficulty. Lord, thank you. I want to make this trial make me more dependent on you. Lord, thank you for this difficult person or this difficult situation in my life. May this circumstance grow me in compassion for others. Lord, allow this hardship to make me look more like my Savior. We can look at difficult situations and hardships and thank the Lord. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I want to end tonight with a monumental example of thankfulness that was recorded in Acts 27. Turn to Acts chapter 27. I know you are familiar with this story from Acts 27. It is easy to read Acts 27 and get caught up in the suspense of the shipwreck that Paul had. If you don't know the story, if it's the first time you are reading it, you would certainly be reading it wondering what happens next. But as believers, we know what happens next. We're fortunate. But we would certainly be wondering, do they survive? Does everybody die? What happens? Nearing the end of the book of Acts, Scripture gives us a radical example of giving thanks when things are hard and the circumstances seem impossible. Let's read Acts 27. We'll read 33 through 38. Acts 27, 33 through 38. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have had, that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, taking nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation, for not a hair from your head of any of you will perish." Having said this, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and he began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. All of us in the ship were 276 persons. When they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. Sometimes it is just really hard to give thanks. Circumstances often make us think now is not the right time to give thanks. If we were in Paul's circumstances, it might be easy for us to think, I'm not going to ask these other 275 people who are in fear of dying to stop and give thanks. They'd throw me overboard if I suggested this. Maybe we'd even be thinking, I'll wait till God has saved everyone and everybody's safe, and then I'll thank God. But let's look at the full story here in Acts 27. Go back to verse 27. I'm sorry, back to verse 7. So we're still in Acts 27, verse 7. We know they had to sail slowly for many days. The sea and the winds are raging. Verse 9 says, considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous. This trial isn't letting up. It is continuing. Verse 16, scarcely able to get the ship under control, they knew things were out of control. They knew things were out of control. They couldn't fix their situation on their own. This voyage is a disaster. Each day at sea is worse than the day before. 14 days of fear, suspense. It's apparent to those on the ship that they were doomed. In verse 30, it says, the sailors tried to escape by the ship's lifeboats. These are experienced sailors that want to jump ship. This is not a good situation. In a radical act of thanksgiving, verse 34, Paul says, therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your preservation. Not a hair from your head or any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. This is radical. No matter the storm, you can find reasons to be thankful. I realize as we look at Acts 27, someone might say, yeah, but Paul had a direct word from the Lord. He has no reason to be afraid. He has no reason not to be thankful. God gave him a direct word. Well, let's look at that direct word back in chapter 27, verse 22 through 24. Paul tells those men, women, whatever on the ship, and he says, verse 22, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you and all those who are sailing with you. You know, reading this, you might be thinking, if God would just send me an angel, then I could be thankful. If God would just give me a direct word, then I could be thankful. I have great news. God has given you and I a direct word. He has given us his word. Here are a few promises. I want to look at a few promises that we have his word, that there is no reason for us not to be thankful. Romans 5:10 is a promise to God's children. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He's promised eternal life. He's promised the end result is good. God gives another promise in Romans 8:32. Paul writes there, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God has promised to give us everything we need. Big picture, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Remember, this isn't all there is. For the believer, there is eternal life in heaven with our Savior. I want to give you one more promise, and it's from Hebrews 13, chapter 5. The writer writes, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God has promised not to desert his children. He will not forsake you. Christian, like Paul, you have a direct word. You have God's promise. There are recorded over 5,000 promises in the Bible. Because of these promises, we can look at our circumstances through the lens of the goodness of God. We can clearly see our situation clearly. We can give thanks. As we close, I'm going to read Psalm 100. If you want to go to Psalm 100, great. If not, I will read Psalm 100. It is a prayer. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 1, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Will you pray with me? As we close in prayer, I want to inform our prayer with Paul's words to the Philippian church in chapter 1. Being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for the promise. The reminder of this promise gives us everything we need to be thankful. Lord, thank you for loving us first. Lord, I pray that the ministry of each one of us would bring you glory. I pray that the ministry of Gilbert Bible Church would honor you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that somehow you would use the words from my mouth to be an encouragement to my dear friends here. Lord, thank you for promising our Savior. Thank you for Jesus. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.